Thanks for joining us today on RV Tech Talk, a podcast produced by the National RV Training Academy that is devoted to discussing ways to keep your RVs in tip-top shape and ways to make money inspecting or fixing recreation vehicles. My name is Greg Gerber, your host for today's show. Today I'll be speaking with an RV inspector from Illinois who got into the career after buying an RV and seeking training on how to maintain it. Henry Baudet was employed in the pharmaceutical industry for many years. When he retired, Henry and his wife had a dream to travel across the United States and Canada. Yet, when they bought their fifth wheel, he found it difficult to understand many of the instruction manuals that came with the unit. So, he enrolled in the RV Fundamentals course at the National RV Training Academy. During that week-long class, Henry learned about the need for RV inspectors to evaluate recreation vehicles for customers who are about to make the second largest purchase of their lives. It required an additional 2 weeks of training to learn the skills needed before taking a test to become a certified RV inspector. Henry talks about the training and the types of things he learned in class, but also outlines the steps he took to launch his inspection business. He also describes why certification is essential for consumers to have confidence in the people they hire to evaluate their RVs. Henry discusses ways he marketed his business, which mostly centered around keeping his profile updated at the National RV Inspectors Association website. That way, when people were looking for inspectors in the greater Chicago area or southeast Wisconsin, Henry's profile was visible to them. Potential clients can click on that to learn more about his company and then contact him to arrange for an inspection. Henry also talks about the mindset independent RV inspectors need to run successful businesses and how that differs from a job mentality where people show up for work and get paid a set salary. For him, inspecting RVs has been lucrative, but time-consuming business, where a single inspection can take up to 8 hours to complete, followed by several additional hours to compile the 100-plus page report. To tell us more about his RV inspection business and what motivated him to pursue it, please welcome Henry Baudet to the show. Thanks for joining me today, Henry. I really appreciate the time. Tell me, how did you get involved in this industry?
When my wife and I decided that we were going to choose an RV as a mode of traveling around the U.S. and Canada instead of a vacation home somewhere and traveling everywhere by the standard ways, we purchased a local dealer. And then being the typical got to know how to do it myself type of guy, went looking everywhere for some kind of a course or training in learning the systems of the RV. And whereas you can certainly, if you even know where to find who the actual manufacturer of, say, your water heater is and look on their website, training can be very difficult, or it's geared toward advanced technicians who already know what they're doing. But I finally found, originally it was a course called RV Fundamentals by a group down in Texas. And the course was basically a 5-day course where you learned all the systems on your RV and would come out with a working knowledge of everything that works. And not that you could tear apart a refrigerator and put it back together, but at least you could check a few simple things. And if you had a voltmeter or whatever, you could see if a computer board was bad or whatever. And then right as the course was about to be scheduled, I got a call saying, no, we can't take you yet. We are working through getting licensed through the Texas Trade Commission. And after a few weeks, months of that, they became certified as the National RV or the Registered RV Technicians Association, and they were now a legal trade school. And so that first week of RV Fundamentals became the initial week of mandatory training if one wanted to become a certified RV technician. You could stop after the first week and become a registered RV technician, which if you want to put yourself out there and make some small repairs. But most people would, if they wanted a career in RV technicians, they would stay the full 5 weeks that had innate detailed instruction in all the systems. But during that first system, that first week when I was there, we got introduced to the concept of RV inspecting. And the dealers will tell you that they do inspections, and they call it a pre-delivery inspection. And to their credit, some of them are a little more involved than others, and they try. But the general concept is they take an overworked technician who may or may not be trained in performing an inspection, give him a piece of paper and a checklist and say, here, make sure everything works. And then they check it off and then they go back to work, or they have to do 6, 7, 8 of these a day. And the populace was finding out that even after a dealer inspection, they were finding multiple problems with their RVs that they would then bring back and need repairs. Now, the dealers would honor those repairs, but it would fall under a warranty and service repair. And the lag times, especially beginning with COVID and still going on today, were in the order of months. And for a part that couldn't be sourced, it might be 6 months or longer, and you're out the use of your RV if it's a critical system, such as a furnace or a water heater. And so the National RV Inspection Association was developed several years ago, and they've been training inspectors in formal classes where you go an additional 2 weeks after that first week of generalized training and learn all the systems of an RV and how to inspect that. And this is a service that is provided for both new RV purchasers, people who wish to buy a new RV and looking for defects that may be there from the manufacturer, or a used RV that you don't know whether or not, you know, it's been maintained properly or if there are problems with it. And that's where we come in. And so just like you get an inspection for a house you're planning to buy, this is an inspection on your rolling house. And for a lot of people, this is the second most expensive purchase in their entire life. And so our job is to make it as give them the most information so that they can make an informed decision on whether to purchase the unit or not.
Super.
So I'll stop there. Do you have any other questions at this time?
Was the training easy?
Easy is relative. If one had a modicum of handyman experience and knowledge, the concepts are quite easy. A lot of it, the term inspection is critical because except for a few specific things, we don't tear anything apart. I don't, like on a motorized coach, we turn on the engine and look at it, listen to it, make sure it does what it's supposed to do as far as blowing air in the air conditioner, but we don't drive it. So we don't know whether the engine is running badly on the road. We don't check the transmission. We inspect, we look at it for the most part. And so we're trained to check if you go up on the roof, everything up there is sealed with special sealants. But these things, if it's especially if it's out in the sun all day, it will deteriorate over a period of years. It has to be reapplied. And if that's not done, then it's a place where water can enter. And anytime water gets in a thin wall, that's a recipe for rot and everything coming apart. The just going through all the systems is not particularly difficult, but getting experience in doing it and documenting it well is what the training is for.
Okay. So you had some experience or an interest in tinkering with things prior to going into this training, and that helped you understand the concepts that were being presented.
To a point, yes. I knew literally nothing about how a gas propane-fired refrigerator worked. And so that was both interesting and made me sure that's not something I ever wanted to mess with personally. But the other system, if it's something simple, something as basic as most of the major systems in an RV need 12 volt electricity to power up the computer panels that manage the safety features to make sure it's safe to allow gas to come in. And if the 12 volt system is faulty, nothing will run. And so needing to know those sort of details, as well as the basic principles of some of these things, is very helpful and needs to be taught.
Did you have prior RV experience before entering into this kind of business?
Short of renting a couple of 1-800 RV campers in the Southwest for weekends and such, no.
Okay, so how did you decide to get into this then?
My wife and I were planning on starting to look for possible retirement options, or even before retirement. And one of the things we thought about was a second vacation home. We live in the north near Wisconsin, so it gets cold in the winter. So we were thinking maybe some kind of a snowbird house in the south, South Carolina, Georgia, something like that. And then when we started realizing that what we both really liked to do was travel, it seemed silly to purchase a second home and do nothing but leave that home and go to an airport and go travel somewhere. So why not have an RV and travel on your own time with all your possessions and go where you want to go and do it that way? So that's what we decided to do. And we purchased our first fifth wheel a few years ago.
Okay, very good. So you are using your RV now recreationally and may in the future take it down south when the warmer weather arrives, or when the colder weather arrives here in Wisconsin, Illinois area.
It's not you can't do it, but sometimes shoveling 20 inches of snow every other week gets a bit old. Yeah, we're not planning on selling everything and doing the full-time RV life like a lot of people do and do successfully and happy. But we would probably keep our home, but the potential for chasing the warm weather during the winter months up here is not out of the question for 6 months at a time or so.
What did it take for you to set up a business?
I had an advantage over most in that I'd run a business in the past, but the most things about setting up a business is just doing all the official things properly. The basic that you can buy basic software such as QuickBooks. There are multitudes of online and even still paper book things on how to set up. An LLC is the most common vehicle that most people set up nowadays. And there's very little to have to mess with payroll because you're usually solo. Or we had quite a few couples in our training where both the husband and the wife were going to be certified as inspectors. I believe a lot of them had gone through the technician's course as well. And so they could tag team on inspections, or one do an inspection while the other does repairs in another location. But setting up the business, if you don't know what you're doing, is something for a professional to assist you with. If you have an accountant or a tax attorney, anything like that, it's reasonable enough for one of them to help you with it. And then they can advise you on the risks and benefits of the company and how expenses should be categorized and that sort of thing.
Did you require a business license?
That would vary with the state. Most states do not require licensing if you're not a regulated industry. So plumbers, electricians, general contractors, they need licensing. It's silly enough, but hairdressers and things like that need a license. In many states, an RV inspector or even a homeowner, home inspector, do not require a license. They frequently have to be members of organizations that can certify who they are, so that if they're not certified in their profession, that's a pretty big red flag. but the licensing is dependent on the state, whether a formal license is required. And if so, that usually simply requires the official documentation, proof of your business, proof of residence in that state, and maybe qualifications and such. But as far in my current state, Illinois, there's no licensing required, or in the state of Wisconsin.
How is the, you are a certified RV inspector. Is there a difference in form of a business or marketing or getting customers between a certified RV inspector and a non-certified?
Certified is generally refers to the formal acceptance by a organization that is generally accepted by the state or public as knowing what they're talking about, saying, okay, this guy met all of the requirements that we require to show that he has the knowledge, the training, and the experience to perform whatever duty. So in this case, RV inspections, according to our standards. Usually that also requires continuing education in the form of training, seminars, on-site, additional training, as every year new systems comes out. And so you need to show experience in that. And the certification is simply a level of training that can be documented. I'm not aware that it is obliged for somebody to be certified and have them call themselves an RV inspector. They can certainly do that, but they have no credibility as far as being certified by a national organization to say that they're an inspector.
Do you think it matters to consumers that an inspector should be certified?
I believe so. You certainly want your financial planners to be certified by their organizations. Obviously, lawyers, doctors, dentists, they're all regulated by the state, and they have their own organizations that can regulate and punish them if they fall outside the lines. So I think most savvy consumers nowadays would recognize a certified versus a non-certified. But if they're not, they certainly should ask that question.
Very good. Do you think that having that certification, though, makes it easier for you to market your business to consumers?
It certainly doesn't hurt, but it falls under, if no one's ever heard of it before, they may not recognize what it means, but certainly our organization, the National RV Inspectors Association, RVIA, goes to great lengths to try to educate the public. If somebody searches for "I need an RV inspector" on Google or something like that, frequently one of the top links is the NRVIA page where they discuss what a certified inspector is and gives a map-based locator for certified inspectors in whatever area you're interested in. And so that is a invaluable marketing tool for all us inspectors out there. The individual marketing falls under how aggressive do you want to be. You can certainly have a very profound local market and the word of mouth is invaluable for a lot of these, but just in the nature of businesses, it can be frighteningly expensive to get like an ad on RV Trader or something like that. It can be in the tune of thousands of dollars a month, which most of us don't have the wherewithal to sustain that sort of marketing effort.
You can update the map location wherever you are at. So if you are wanted to go RVing, for example, and spend the winter down south, you could get there and then update the map location and start funneling customer requests through that. Is that correct?
That is exactly correct. And that is the beauty of it. And you can set it on a timer so that you go, I know that in 3 weeks I'm going to be in the Phoenix, Arizona area. And then you change your locator position to that. And if people happen to be looking for an inspection at the time you're there, they absolutely can reach out to you and you can respond and then do it or not. It even allows you to be in multiple locations. So I can set my locator in the Chicago area, and I can also set a locator in the southern part of Wisconsin in the Milwaukee area. And people in both areas can then feel free to contact me, and I'm not restricted to one geographic area.
For you personally, how far out do you travel for an inspection? Is it a couple of hours or within just a couple of miles?
It depends on how badly the inspection needs to be done on the consumer's part and, you know, what they're willing to do. There are people who have, there are customers who have purchased multiple RVs through the years, and they have their own personal inspector that they trust. And I know of inspectors who have flown airplane airfare to other states and inspected an RV and then given them the report. So let's say you live in Upper New York State and you found the perfect RV and it's down in Florida, but you're not going to drive or fly down to Florida and look at it and only have something wrong with it that's on your negative list. You can engage an RV inspector to go look at it for you. And some people have their own favorite, but in reality, on my own personal fees, I include 100 miles round trip in with the fare, and anything above that is an additional fee. And if it involves literally in another state, I'll do it, but then they need to understand that they have to pay for mileage and an overnight stay. So it's all what the, and if you're looking at purchasing a used high-end Class A RV, it could be up to $750,000 for the price of the RV. So spending a little extra on a inspector's time and travel is usually a pittance for customers like this. On the other hand, if you're buying a 20-year-old van for $3,000, you're not going to be willing to spend half that to have somebody travel from a state away. So it's all relative.
What did you do for a living before you started inspecting RVs?
I was in the pharmaceutical development area where we were mostly involved in developing anti-cancer drugs for various leukemias and the like.
So you were employed by a company, is that correct?
Yes. And then COVID came along and the entire development arena shifted. And so I call it COVID tired, where my services were not relevant to what they were looking to develop. And everybody was frantically looking for virologists and things like that. So that accelerated my desire to look for a second career down the road.
Was it difficult to make that transition from being an employee to being self-employed?
It might be for someone who needs the day-to-day cash flow to support their families. I was blessed in that I was fairly comfortable prior to all the COVID occurring. My wife is employed in an industry where she did not need to go to the office. It's if somebody is looking for a guaranteed income of X monthly and you're not in an RV super hot spot state such as Southern Florida, it can be a risk. And so it all depends on the kind of risk that is acceptable to you in order to try a new business. But if you can stick it out, it can be a fairly lucrative position, and even more so if it's a second career down the road.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask, is whether you can make a living doing this kind of thing, part-time or full-time.
Absolutely. Let's assume a hypothetical inspection fee all in at $1,000. If you're in a hot market, you can easily schedule 3, 4 or more inspections a week.
Oh my.
A thorough inspection for most inspectors trained through NRVIA roughly takes a day. You spend 6 to 8 hours inspecting everything. We take multiple hundreds of photographs. We have a software program that's both on our computers and on our phone that facilitates generating a report when we're done. And then we work on finalizing the report, and it can be up to 100 pages. And so this is what we send to the client when we're done. And you can easily do one a day if you wish. So let's assume 4,000 a week, that's 16,000 a month before taxes. That's not bad for a lot of people.
Not bad at all. And a lot of people, an extra $500 a month would make a big difference in their lifestyle. And you could do that as an inspector?
If that's all you wish to do, certainly. I don't know of people who restrict themselves on purpose, aside from I know quite a few inspectors who've given their opinion that they don't want to do too many inspections one after the other, in that it can be quite taxing physically. We're literally crawling up on roofs on ladders. We're crawling under the RV, looking at the suspensions and tires, and it can be a physically demanding exertion for the day. And to do that, and then you got to go home and finish your report, which is, if it's an extremely involved report, that can take you a few hours. So to do that day after day may be increased zeros in your bank account, but it can be quite taxing. So I know a lot of people that will restrict themselves to maybe 3, 4 inspections a week tops. Others say nothing on weekends. It's their own business model that is their choice.
How busy are you personally?
Right now, we're just starting to get into the season in the north, so they're picking up generally several a week, the calls. And there's a lot of tire kickers. All they hear is inspection, and they don't understand what it involves. Usually if I talk to them and discuss, have you ever had a home inspection? Oh, sure. How long did that take? He was there all day. I'm going, we do the same thing. And so they start getting it. And that's where I say, if they're looking at buying a 20-year-old van, maybe the cost of an inspection isn't worth it to them. But no, 2 to 3 a week is a reasonable call at this time, and it will pick up as the summer comes off. Also do some minor maintenance things, such as helping winterize and dewinterize RVs for the cold season up here. So that comes usually near the fall, where people call up and wish me to winterize the RV to protect against freezing.
That's a good second income for you.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. And although I usually try to encourage the owner to do it themselves, and I don't mind teaching them how to do it, because that benefits everybody. And so it's something that we are not constrained. We're not prevented from doing maintenance just because we may not be a registered technician, a certified technician, but we have in our code of ethics that we cannot, an NRVIA certified inspector may not do any technical repairs on an RV that they have inspected for a 12-month period. And that is to prevent an unscrupulous person from finding, quote unquote, things to fix, and then charging the client to repair either existent or non-existent items. Bottom line, it's literally no skin off our nose whether the client buys the RV or not, or if the seller sells it or not. It's simply, this is the inspection. This is what I found. This is what I observed. Here's a report. Thank you very much. And that's it.
How do you find your customers or market your business?
I have a website. Most of us inspectors do. Either I created my own because I'm pretty good with computers and such, and with a WordPress website, others will hire a WordPress site or use ones available through forums such as GoDaddy. Our software that most of us use is called HomeGage, and they primarily serve as home inspectors, but they also are working within our VIA for dedicated RV help. And they offer a website creation tool. So most of us do have a website. And so if somebody looks under Google in the northern Chicago area and looks for RV inspection services near me, then generally I pop up in that way. I also have a Facebook page and such. But to the primary source is when somebody says RV inspector, and then the NRVIA pops up and they can look for us in their specific zip code.
Okay, so you're getting a lot of your clients from the locator map on the NRVIA website. Do you do any advertising?
Advertising is, as I said earlier, just I've taken to heart many comments that I've seen from other inspectors that say it just doesn't work. You can buy Google ads. It doesn't get anything, and they can be quite expensive. Any kind of formal advertising on the larger RV sites is basically untenable. It's getting a brand out there that people would recognize, and that can be quite difficult. I know many people that advertise not at all, but they are wildly successful because of their experience, their years, and the word of mouth. Plus, every time I go to a dealer, I try to be as respectful as possible and try to make them understand we're not here to prevent you from making a sale. All we want to do is just report what we find on the RV and give you an opportunity to make it good before it does it. And so I will hand out multiple business cards to the salesman. And when a savvy customer goes to buy an RV and then they say, I want RV inspection prior to the sale concluding, then they'll hand out my card and I'll get a card from one. Yeah, Jim over at Lazy Day said I should call you. And so that's very much appreciated as well.
Okay. I was going to ask a question about having an RV inspected if you're buying it from a private party versus a dealership. Are they both needed?
Oh, I would definitely agree. Not so much that there are sellers out there trying to harm or put something over on a buyer. It's just, as with anything, no one ever wants to hear their baby is ugly. And so this is their RV, as I said, is their usually second largest purchase in their life. It's their baby. There couldn't possibly be anything wrong with it. And when you try to point out, when's the last time you actually crawled on top of your roof and you get a stupid look back, and you know that this is the sort of thing, they may not understand that this is not like shingles on your house. The roof of an RV is a thin rubber membrane that's stretched across a small, thin sheet of plywood over some even thinner support structures. So even the slightest little hole or the sealant cracking from the sun shining in all day is a place for water to get in. And water damage on an RV is usually a walkaway. That's not something you want to get into unless repairing large repairs of RVs is your joy in life. It can be in the thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to repair significant water damage in a wall or a roof. And it's usually something if I find it, I'll immediately call the client and go, this is what I found. Do you even want me to continue? And most of them will say, no, forget it. And so we adjust the fee and go from there. But a private seller is no different from a dealer. It's simply you go to their home. And so as long as they have the proper electrical hookups, a source of water and a source of propane, it's an inspection like any other, except we do it in their driveway. Or if we're really lucky, they'll have a large barn or a shed that it's kept in. And we just go from there. They have the right to throw us off their property. I once had a guy after 4 hours come out and go, I had no idea it would take this long, go away. It's the way it is. But, and then you call the client and says, he threw me off. But there's no difference. But I make no distinction between a private seller and a dealer. And even more so if it's family, do not make a purchase like that without getting a full inspection. Because here's an example. Most people do not take a thermometer and stick it inside the refrigerator and come back and say, oh, the refrigerator won't cool any more than 50 degrees. That's unsafe. If you put food in there, it's going to spoil. That's just not good. In any RV built in probably the last 5 to 6 to 10 years, they're getting bigger and bigger to what we call now residential RVs. Refrigerators, and not a single refrigerator will fit through the RV door. And so either it's in what we call a slide out, one of those things that opens up once you park, they have to take the whole slide out, remove it from the RV to get to the refrigerator. Or I've seen in the motorized units where they literally remove the front windshield and then remove the chairs. And then that's the way that they get the refrigerator out of the RV and the new one in it if they have to replace it. As you can imagine, that's not just going to Lowe's and buying a new refrigerator and sliding it in your house with a dolly. So that repair alone can be in the multiple thousands. And if you didn't stick a thermometer inside your refrigerator to find out that it's not cooling properly, there's no way you would know that. And so the other thing would be tires. If you haven't inspected your tires and don't know where to look for the manufacture date of that tire, if you had it well cared for, and they didn't use the RV for multiple months out of the year, there may only be a few dozen thousand mile, if that, on the tires. Yet the National Tire Safety Board recommends you replace all your tires within 6 years. And so if your tires are 8, 9, 10 years old, possibly, they may look great, but they're not safe. And this could have implications that if you have a blowout down the road and you try to file an insurance claim, they say, your tires were too old and so on and so forth. And 4 tires on a standard trailer can be more than $2,000. So it's just things like this that most people just don't think about. And that's what an inspector does, and that's their job. And so we report it. It's up to them to do anything about it, but we at least make them aware of it.
You folks are as thorough as going through and checking every single outlet in an RV to make sure it's working and to make sure that all the burners start up and things like that. These are thorough inspections, so you overlook nothing. And it's different than having somebody who's been an RVer for a while and walking through the unit and saying, yeah, this looks good. You might want to have them check out this spot or that spot. You guys people get an inspection and they walk away with a list of things that need to be repaired, which helps them determine whether it's a good deal to begin with, but also they can see that something coming up might need to be addressed later on, and they can make an informed decision about whether to proceed with the purchase or not.
That is exactly the case. And an informed consumer is a happy consumer. It's not that they are being coached to walk away from every RV that's not perfect. They just need to be aware of potential problems. So like I said, if I go up on the roof and I see that the sealant that holds all the water out of all the things that come through your roof, like your plumbing vents, your air conditioner, skylights over the bathroom, that sort of thing, but I see that it's deteriorating, cracking, dried out. There may not be any water leaks today, but if this continues unabated and unaddressed, I can guarantee you there will be water leaks in the future. And that's just some a disaster nobody wants to have to deal with. So if they're made aware that you really should need a roof guy, go up there and reseal everything, that's not near as bad as, oops, your entire roof in this area is soaked and needs to be replaced because otherwise it's a major mold hazard. And that's a much, much bigger project and to the tune of multiple thousands of dollars more, not to mention you're out the use of your RV for the months that it takes them to fix it. So it's all about informing the potential buyer or seller what's going on with the unit.
The RV industry is like the Wild West, isn't it?
I would have to agree with almost all states and all other motorized vehicles. You have lemon laws in that if you find the same problem on an automobile that you keep needing to bring it back, you're finally said, no, that's it. I either want another one or I want my money back. There are much more state regulation from consumer groups that monitor these dealers and make sure that they're not having issues. The RV industry today does not have the protections such as the automobile industry or the home industries. And so while you might get a lender to demand an inspection on a new RV, it's quite rare in that most of them simply, they treat it like an auto loan and here's your money and there you go and make the payments. And it's your problem if there's something wrong with it versus a home. The bank is going to mandate an inspection. And if there are major issues such as the roof needing replaced, they want that addressed before they write you a check for your mortgage. And so with the RV industry, they can literally say anything, do anything, and you have no recourse. If somebody says the RV runs just great and it's a motorized unit and then the engine explodes down the road, you have no recourse because none of this is actionable. Even though I must qualify, an NRVI inspector does not operate or evaluate in the mobile, in the sense of an auto mechanic inspecting the engine and transmission. So if you are looking for, you want full confidence in the engine and transmission, that would need to be done by a certified mechanic, which we are not. We can look at it to say, hey, there seems to be extra rust. There seems to be oil leaking here. We recommend you get it checked out, but that's as far as we go.
The fluid analysis can help though, can't it?
Fluid analysis is a helpful adjunct to a motorized unit. The professional fluid labs, they can take oil, transmission fluid, engine coolant. If you have a large unit, you'll probably have a generator that has an oil reservoir and a coolant. Then you can take 1 ounce samples of all of these fluids and have them analyzed by a professional laboratory, which runs it through a mass spectrometer or something of such and gives you a detailed report. So if you have oil that has water or rust in it, that's not good. If you have coolant that has oil and it looks older, is deteriorating, all of these are signs that there may be problems with the engine down the road. And so we sometimes refer to it as a blood analysis of your unit. And the fluid analyses can help an RV, a motorized RV purchaser, make a better decision. So if there's minimal problems with the engine oil and coolant and transmission fluid, then you have a much higher degree of confidence that the engine will probably be okay, but it's not a substitute for a thorough evaluation by a mechanic, in my opinion.
When you have an onboard generator, though, whether it's a fifth wheel or a motorhome, you should have those inspected or the fluid analysis conducted on that as well, correct?
That is, we always recommend that. It is an additional charge to do it, and it can take an extra 5 to 7 days or longer, depending on the lab that you use. But, and some people just don't have, they literally are looking to buy tomorrow and they want it tomorrow, and everybody always wants it tomorrow. But the one word of free advice I would like you to hear, and possibly to your listeners, is that if you're ever considering putting a down payment, whether it's a purchase order at a dealer, a down payment for a cash sale, or to a seller, always in the contract, first of all, have a contract. Don't end up on Judge Judy like everybody else. And on the bottom of the contract, especially at a dealer, write in the words, "This sale is subject to my final inspection and approval, and with failure to give my approval, I receive a 100% refund of all my deposit." You sign it, they sign it, they give you a copy, and you put it in a safe place. And this is because there are dealers who, and there's one in particular, and they're, I won't give you their initials, but they're a nationwide dealer. They are very common at getting people, prospective clients, to buy a purchase order, sign a purchase order, and give a deposit. And then if there's something wrong with the unit, then they keep the deposit, saying, "We didn't cancel the sale, you did. So we're keeping your deposit." And usually a deposit on a can be substantial, up to more than $1,000. So that is unequivocal free advice I offer to everybody who calls in, whether they accept me as an inspector or not. But always put that clause in the purchase order, and it will protect you from losing your deposit on a potential sale.
That's great advice, Henry. If people wanted to connect with you, how could they do that, whether to hire you as an inspector or if another inspector wanted to talk to you?
I have a website, and it's www.expertrvi.com. And there's a on the website where you can contact me, as well as my phone number, and you're more than free to contact me at any time.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I'm very appreciative of Henry Bode for his willingness to talk about the ins and outs of his RV inspection business. In large market areas like the one he services in Northeast Illinois and Southeast Wisconsin, it is not uncommon for inspectors to be able to schedule 3 to 4 inspections a week. Averaging $1,000 per inspection, that can add up to a sizable monthly income. The beauty is that inspectors can control their own schedules and determine how busy they want to be and how far they want to travel to complete an inspection. Henry also augments his income by doing minor maintenance for RV owners, such as helping them to winterize and de-winterize their RVs. In fact, Henry teaches RV owners how to complete the basic maintenance themselves by showing them how to go through the step-by-step process. In addition to the locator feature on the RV Inspectors Association website, Henry also developed his own website to promote his business. He does not rely upon online advertising because that can get very expensive very quickly. However, Henry does pass out business cards to RV salespeople whenever he's inspecting an RV at a dealership. That has resulted in several referrals from dealers who find Henry to be honest and reliable. I appreciated this description of why it is so important to get an RV inspected, whether buying it from a dealer or also a private seller. I appreciated his description of why it is important to get an RV inspected, whether buying it from a dealership or a private seller. Henry explained that many private sellers think there's nothing wrong with the RV they're trying to sell, yet they rarely climb on the roof to look for problems or for places where water could enter an RV. He made a good point about having to test each appliance thoroughly to make sure it works so buyers can make informed decisions before proceeding with the purchase. Few people bother to test a refrigerator to ensure it gets cold enough to store food properly, nor do they look at the age of tires to ensure the rubber is still sound. Henry also provides some great advice about ensuring that any purchase order signed with a dealer or contract signed with a private owner needs to include a clause making it conditional upon the buyer's inspection and approval. People can connect with Henry by visiting www.expertrvi.com. nationalrvtraining.com. Today's episode was sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know about how to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. That's all I have for this week's show. Next time, I'll be speaking with someone who once worked for a large format printing company before COVID ended his job. Today, he makes a living as a full-time RV inspector. I'll have that interview on the next episode of RV Tech Talk. Thanks for listening.